onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I am Pastor Steve, and this show is for Monday, December the 26th, 2016. And we are going to be covering 1 Kings chapters 3, 4, and 5. I want to make a little announcement before I get too far gone here. I will be on the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock show on the 28th. That will be Wednesday the 28th. And I will be his guest. I am also going to be leaving Yahweh's Covenant people. Another pastor is coming back to EFR and joining Eli. He is a pastor that originated Yahweh's Covenant people with Eli. And beginning on January the 5th, 2017, at 9 p.m., I will be taking over the 9 p.m. slot. And the show is going to be a weekly sermon. It's going to be Wake Up Call with Pastor Steve. So I will be doing sermons on current events, how they are affecting us scripturally and how scripture applies to them, plus just some pretty hardcore preaching. You know how I am. I don't mince words about the word. So, new show, I'll be coming at 9 o'clock in the evening, Eastern Standard Time, beginning January the 5th on Thursday, and I will have that show every Thursday evening at 9 o'clock. So, I hope you join me there. Things are heating up current events-wise. And I feel they really need some scriptural commentary on how they affect us and how we should behave when confronted by all these horrible events that are coming on. And more good scripture. That's all I'm about. Well, let's get started. Let me get a drink of this hot coffee while it's still hot. And the first book of Kings, chapter 3. And this is the continuing story of Shlomo. That's Solomon in your English. So, verse 1 of chapter 3. Shlomo became related by marriage. Now, became related by marriage is all one word in the Hebrew. It's 2859. Became related by marriage with Paro, king of Mitzrayim, which is Egypt, and took the daughter of Paro and brought her to the city of Dawid, until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of Yahweh and the wall of Jerusalem all around. He built the big wall all around the town there. So we get into verse 2. And it shows the state of religious worship in that time. This is pre-temple. Verse 2. Only the people sacrificed in high places, 1:1-1:6. And that's usually reserved, that word is usually reserved for pagan worship, okay? Because there was no house built for the name of Yahweh until those days. So they were sacrificing in some of the pagan sites. Verse 3. Shlomo loved Yahweh. Well, he did right then. Walking in the statutes of David his father, except he sacrificed and burned incense in the high places. Well, he went along with the rest of the people, what they were doing, because there was no temple. Verses 4 through 9, you can go to your Apocrypha and read the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 9, verses 1 through 18. Verse 4, the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there because that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings offered Shlomo upon that altar. The word 1,000 here refers to the number of things that were sacrificed, not the numbers of times sacrifices were made. And verse 5, in Gibeon, Yahweh appeared to Shlomo in a dream by night, and Elohim said, ask what I shall give you. And you can refer to 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7, on verse 5. Okay? He asked, ask what I shall give you. Verse 6. Verse 6 says, said Shlomo, you have done to your servant David, my father, great kindness, that as he walked before you in truth and righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you, and you have guarded for him this great kindness and gave him a son to sit on his throne as this day, speaking of himself. Verse 7, now, O Yahweh Elohai, that means my God, you have made your servant king in the place of David my father, and I am but a young, 6996, boy, 5288. I know not going forth or coming in. Verse 8. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen. Speaking of Israel, okay? A great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. 7230. Verse 9. Give your servant an understanding. 8085, literally, an understanding mind. 3820. In other words, they used the word for heart, 3820, for mind. And understanding here is to hear and obey. A mind, in other words, he's asking for a mind that will hear the word of Yahweh. Hebrew and English are like oil and water. They just don't mix well at times. So you just have to give a synopsis of what he's saying. It's hard in the Hebrew. Give your servant an understanding mind to judge, 8199, your people, that I may discern, 995, between good and evil, because who is able to judge this great a people? That big mass multitude. And verse 9, you can reference 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 10. Verse 10. These words were pleasing, 3190. Actually, that means to fill or fulfilling in the eyes of Yahweh, because Shlomo had asked for this thing. Now, verse 11. Said Elohim to him, because that you have asked for this thing and have not asked for yourself length of days, that's a long life, nor asked for riches, nor asked for the life of your hated enemies, that would be vengeance, but have asked for discernment and hearing judgment. Verse 12. Behold, I have done according to your words. Lo, I give you a wise 2450 and discerning mind. That would be literally heart again, but the Hebrew uses the heart as the center of thought, which is the opposite of what it is in the Greek. So that there was none like you before you, nor after you shall rise up like you. Okay. He's going to be great at first. Okay, that's what's going to happen. He's going to be a great king at the first. That will change. Verse 13, I have given you that which you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so there shall not be any man among the kings like you all your days. Verse 14, here is the big if, that's 518 in your Strong's Concordance in the Hebrew section, if you will walk in my ways to guard, 8104, my statutes and my commandments, that's guard or keep or preserve, as your father Dawid walked, then I will lengthen your days. Verse 15, and Shlomo awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Yerushalayim, that's Jerusalem, and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh, and offered up burnt offerings, and made offerings of well-being, that's peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. Well, in Yerushalayim, on what would become the Temple Mount, they had the tabernacle, the big tent, the tent of meeting, set up. And that's where he went. And they had the altar and all that stuff. Verse 16, then came two women, harlots, 2181. Now, that can be used for innkeeper as well, as in the book of Ruth, or in the book of, Rahab, book of Joshua, Rahab. They have her listed as a harlot, but she was an innkeeper. Josephus confirmed that. I did that when I did Joshua. Then came two women, harlots, to the king and stood before him. Verse 17, said one woman, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I bore a child with her in the house. Verse 18, it came to be on the third day I bore, that this woman bore also, and we were together. There was no stranger, 2114, and that is someone else. That's czar. In other words, no other person was with us in the house except we two in the house. verse 19. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay upon it. She was sleeping, and she rolled over and laid on the baby and smothered it. Okay, that's happened. That's why the kids today are in a crib next to the bed. Verse 20. She rose up in the middle of the night and took away my son from beside me while my maidservant slept and laid it in her bosom. 24:36. Now, bosom is inside the shirt at the waist. They would tuck stuff in there while she tucked a little baby in there. They're not speaking of the female breast. And laid her dead son in my bosom. Verse 21, when I rose up in the morning to give suck, to nurse the baby, 3:4:2:3, to my son, behold, it was dead. But when I considered 9:9:5, as examined it that morning, behold, it was not my son which I bore. Verse 22, the other woman said, nay, because the living is my son and the dead is your son. And this said, no, because the dead is your son and the living my son. They bickered back and forth, in other words. Thus they spoke before the king. Verse 23, said the king, one says, this is my son that lives, and your son is dead. And the other says, nay, but your son is dead, and my son is living. Said the king, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. Verse 25, said the king, divide, 1504, the living child in two. And give half to the one and half to the other. Verse 26. Now this worked. Then spoke the woman who was the living child to the king. For her compassion, 7:5:3:6, was aroused. 3:6:4:8, over her son. And she said, oh my Lord, give her the living child and not put it to death. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor yours. Divide it. She didn't care because it really wasn't her kid. Verse 27. Answered the king saying, give her the living child and not put it to death. She is the mother of it. So he gave the baby to the real mother. He tricked the other one. Verse 28. All of Israel heard of the judgment that the king had judged and were in awe. 3:3:7:2, then that can also mean fear, but here it means awestruck, before the king, because they saw that the wisdom, 2:4:5:1, of Elohim was within him, 71:30, within him, to do justice. And 71:30 is the inner part of man as the center of thought. All right, now we start chapter 4. And note that in the Hebrew, chapter 4 has 20 verses, as opposed to the King James, they have 21 verses, but the verse 21 is the first verse of chapter 5. Okay? These are the officials that Shlomo chose. It was that King Shlomo, that's Solomon, if you came in late, was king over all Israel. Please note that there are sometimes more than one person having the same name. They are to be designated by the father's name of that person. Verse 2, these were the officials which he had. Azariahu, 5838, the son of Zadok the priest. Verse 3, Elikoreph, 456, and Akiyah, 281, the sons of Shisha, 7894, scribes. Jehoshaphat, 309-2, the son of Achilud, the recorder. And as I said, there's five Jehoshaphats in the Bible. All different men, but same name, just like John or Bill or Joe. Verse 4, Benayahu, the son of Jehoiada, was over the army, and Zadok and Abiathar, the priests. All right, verse 5, Azariahu, the son of Natan, that's a different man from the fella in verse 2. His name is also Azariahu. The son of Natan was over the prefects. And Zabub, 2071, the son of Natan, a chieftain, 3548, and this is a class of priest that ministered to the king for religious affairs. They prepared things and got sacrifices ready and did all kinds of stuff. Friend, 7463, to the king. Verse 6, Akishar, 301, was over the household. He was the majordomo of the house, like the head butler. And Adoniram, 141, the son of Abda, 5653, was over the forced labor. Forced labor is 4522. Those were the people that they put in tribute and forced labor from the other tribes of the Canaanites and just various conquered peoples. They were not Israelites. The forced labor was a different group of people. Okay. I need another hit of coffee here. Pipes are getting a little dry. I've got the furnace ripping because it's cold here, and it dries the air out in here and gives me that dry cough. But it's better than being cold at my age. Oh, that's marvelous. Shlomo had 12 prefects over all Israel, which procured sustenance, 3557, for the king and his household, one for each month in a year, acquired provisions. 3557 is acquired provisions. They had 12 prefects, and each was in charge of one of the months. They had to provide food for the king's household for 1 month of the year. That was their job. Verse 8. These are their names. Ben-Hur, 1133, that's son of Hur in your King James, in the hill country of Ephraim. Verse 9. Ben-Deker, 1128, that means son of Deker, D-E-Q-E-R. Ben, whenever you hear Ben, that's 1121, and that means the son or son of, okay? Ben Decker in Makatsh 4739 and in Sha'alabim 8169 and Beth Shemesh, pardon me, not Shemeth, Shemesh, that means house of the sun, and Elon, Beth Canaan 358. Verse 10, Ben Chesed, 1136, in Aruboth, 700. He governed Soko and all the land of Kepher, 2660. Verse 11, Ben Abinadab, 1125, in all of Naphath Dor, that's 5299 and 1756 combined. Taphath, 2955, the daughter of Shlomo was his wife. Ba'ama, 1195, the son of Achilud, governed Ta'anak. And Megiddo, and all Beth Shean 1052, which is by Sarethana, below Yisrael. That's not Israel, that's Yisrael. That's a location. From Beth Shean to Abel Mekola, 65, to beyond Yachma'am. 3361, and that's Jokneam in your King James, so you see how badly they've screwed it up. Verse 13, Ben Geber, 1127, in Ramoth Gilead, governed the towns of Yair, the son of Manasseh, which are in Gilead, and govern the region of Argob, which is in Bashan. 60 large cities with walls and gate bars of bronze. Those were all fortified cities. 14. Akinadab, 292, the son of Edo, governed Mahanaim. Verse 15, Achima'atz, 290, was in Naphtali, that's the tribal territory of Naphtali. He also took Bashemath, 1315, the daughter of Shlomo, to wife. And this 290, Achima'atz, is a different man from 1 and 2 Samuel. That's not the same man. It's a different Achima'atz. Verse 16, Ba'ana, the son of Cushai, was in Asher and Be'alath, 1175. Verse 17, Yehoshaphat, the son of Paruach, 6515, that's a different Yehoshaphat, in Issachar. Verse 18, Shimei, 8096, and there are 15 people by this name in the Old Testament. This is not the one that cursed Dawid. It's a different man. The other one is dead. The son of Elah, 414, in Binyamin. Verse 19, Geber, 1398, that means mighty man, the son of Uri, 221, was in the land of Gilead, in the land of Sihon, king of the Amori, and Og, king of Bashan, and the only prefect, 5333, which was in that land. That was conquered territory, and those men were dead. But that's how they remembered them, by that land. Yeah. Throat's a little dry again. Give me just a second. All right. Now, speaking of verse 19. They were in the land of Gilead, in the land of Sihon, king of the Amori, and Og, king of Bashan. Well, it was the former land. They should have put the word former in there, but they did not. This was conquered territory. The same as the territory formerly occupied by Moab when Ruth was living there. She was not a racial Moabite. She was an Israelite living in conquered territory. And I want you to make note of this. Like I said in my dissertation on Ruth, here's another example of these lands. It's a national location, not a racial demographic. Verse 20, so Yehuda and Israel were many. See, they've got them separated here already. They keep mentioning them as two different entities. They're all Israel. But they were having differences. So Yehuda and Israel were many as the sand which is by the sea in multitude, eating, drinking, and making merry. And that is the end of chapter 4. There are a lot of people in the books of Kings 1 and 2 that have the same first name. Even the kings can be confused as a king of Israel and a king of Yehuda after the split may be named the same at the same time. They're told apart by the nation they're king of and who their father was. You might have one king named Bob in Israel and another king named Bob in Yehuda. Same name, different fathers, different national. You must make your own notes as you study to avoid the confusion in Kings, because it is very confusing. Now, in my published printed work, which I haven't got fully computerized yet, I have a timeline for 1st and 2nd Kings, separate books, that eliminates all this confusion. It shows exactly who's king, where, and when. So now we're going into chapter 5, and verse 1 in chapter 5 would be verse 21 of chapter 4 in most of your English texts. But in the Hebrew, which is correct, and the English texts are not, they tampered with it. This is verse 1 of chapter 5. And you can reference Genesis chapter 15, verse 18, and 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 26 for verse 1. And Shlomo was, that's Solomon, was reigning over all the kingdoms from the river Euphrates. That is inserted. That is not in the Hebrew. But that's the river that they're talking about. To the land of the Pelishtim, that's the Philistines, and to the border of Mitzrayim, that's Egypt. They brought tribute, in other words, gifts, and that is Minkah, 4503, and served, 5647, Shlomo all the days of his life. Verse 2, food for Shlomo for one day was 30 measures, 3734, of fine flour, and 60 measures of meal, 7058. That's measures is kor, and meal is kemak, for unleavened cakes. This was for the whole household. When they're speaking of food for Shlomo, that means the king's household. Verse 3, 10 fat oxen, 1277, fat means stall fed, and 20 oxen from the pastures, 7471, 100 sheep, besides deer, gazelles, roebuck, and fatted, 75, that's grain fed, fowl, 1257. He had a big household and had a lot of people working for him, and he had to feed all these people. Verse 4, because he had dominion, 7287, over all on this side of the river, from Tipsach, 8607, to Azza, 5804, that would be Gaza today, over all the kings on this side of the river, and he had peace on all sides all around him. He ruled the whole territory. Now, verse 5. Now, they continue to mention Yehuda and Israel separately. This just shows signs of the times and of future division. And Yehuda and Israel dwelt in safety, 983. Every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan to Be'er Sheba, all the days of Shlomo. And Be'er Sheba means the well of Sheba. Verse 6, and you can reference 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 26, and 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 14, and chapter 9, verse 25, for verse 6. Shlomo had 40,000 stalls, 723, of horses for his chariots, and 12,000 horsemen. Verse 7. Those prefects furnished provisions for King Shlomo and for all that approached King Shlomo's table, each man in his month, and they lacked no thing. Everything was very prolific at that time. Yahweh was blessing the land. They had lots of food. Everything was growing. These were Israelites, not Jews. They could farm. Jews can't farm. The land won't yield to them because they're of the seed of Canaan. Verse 8, barley and straw for the horses and steeds, 7409. They rode other animals beside horses, like asses and camels and dromedaries. And camels have two humps and the dromedary has one. That's the difference between them. For the horses and steeds, they brought into the place where they were, every man by his instructions. In other words, they had people that were stable keepers, and their job was to take care of all these animals. Verse 9. Elohim gave Shlomo wisdom and understanding. Okay. Pardon me. Exceeding much. And breadth, 7341. Of mind, 3820. That's literally heart. but he had a breadth of mind. They used that as the center of thought. Now, the Greek used it as the center of emotions, but heart can mean either heart, literally, or mind in the Hebrew. Exceeding much and breadth of mind as the sand that is upon the seashore. A lot of wisdom. Verse 10, Shlomo's wisdom exceeded the wisdom of all the children of Kedem, that's the children of the east, and all the wisdom of Mitzrayim, that's Egypt. And here's verse 11, and it is in the title of Psalm 89. Reference Psalm 89 title for this. He was wiser than all of Adam, that's 120, than Ethan, 387, the Ezraki, 250, and Haman, 1968, and Kalkol, 3633. These were wise men of the day. And Darda, 1862. That's the islands of, they come from Darda that founded the islands of the Dardanelles. And the Trojans. Okay, there you go. The sons of Machal, 4235. His fame was in all nations round about. Verse 12, he spoke 3,000 proverbs. 4912, Mashal. And his songs, 7892, were 1,005. And verse 12, you can reference Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, chapter 10, verse 1, chapter 25, verse 1, and the Song of Solomon in your Apocrypha, chapter 1, verse 1. Verse 13, he spoke of trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon to the hyssop that comes forth from the wall. He spoke of beasts and of birds and of creeping things and of fishes. Verse 14, they came from all people to hear the wisdom of Shlomo, from all kings of the land which had heard of his wisdom. Verse 15, sent Hiram, 2438, that's King Hiram, king of Zor, T-S-O-R, 6865, and in the King James, they have Tyre, T-Y-R-E, total screw-up. His servants to Shlomo, because he had heard that he was anointed as king in the place of his father. For Hiram had been all the days a lover of Dawid. He just thought the world of Dawid. He was a friend and a king. And just really loved everything that Dawid did. Very great friend. Verse 16. Sent Shlomo to Hiram, saying, verse 17, you know that Dawid my father could not build a house for the name of Yahweh Elohev, that means his God, because of the presence of the wars which surrounded him until Yahweh put them under the soles of his feet. Speaking of his enemies. Verse 18, now Yahweh Elohai, that means my God, has given me rest on every side. No adversary, 7854, nor evil, 7451, occurrence, 6294. And here's verse 19. And you can reference 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 and 13, and 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 11 and 12. Verse 19, and behold, I say in my heart to build a house for the name of Yahweh Elohai, as Yahweh spoke to Dawud my father, saying, your son, whom I will set upon your throne in your place, he shall build a house for my name. That would be the house of Yahweh, the first temple. Verse 20, now command that they cut down for me cedar trees from Lebanon, and my servants shall be with your servants, and I will give you wages for your servants all that you say, because you know none among us men that know how to cut down timber like the Sidonim. 6722, those are Sidonians. Verse 21, it came to be when heard Chiram the words of Shlomo that rejoiced he greatly, basically because he could do something nice for him, and said, blessed be Yahweh this day who has given to Dawud a wise son over this great people. Okay, Chiram was a righteous Yahweh worshiper. Later on, the Sidonians and the Sorim would be enemies. They would go pagan. But right now, he worships Yahweh. Verse 22. Sent Chiram to Shlomo, saying, I have heard that which you sent to me, and I will do all you desire of timber of cedar and timber of fir. Verse 23. My servants shall bring them forth from Lebanon to the sea, and I will make them to be, 7760, floats, 1702, big rafts, and by sea shall send them to the place you send to me, and they shall be broken up, 5310, there, that means they will be dismantled, and you shall take them away, and you shall do your desire in giving food for my household. So Chiram gave Shlomo cedar trees and fir trees all he desired. Verse 25, gave Shlomo to Chiram 20,000 measures of wheat for foodstuff, 4361, for his household, and 20 measures, and here where it says 3734 measures in the Hebrew, the Septuagint reads baths, like taking a bath, B-A-T-H-S. That's a liquid measure, and a measure is coarse. That is a dry measure. So I would go with the Septuagint here, because, and 20 measures of pressed olive oil, that's a liquid. So it should be baths. Thus gave Shlomo to Chiram year by year, all the years that they were cutting all this stuff down. Verse 27, raised up King Shlomo a levy of forced labor, 4522. Now this kind of forced labor is of the Israelites. Everybody had to participate. A levy of forced labor from all Israel, and the levy of forced labor was 30,000 men. Verse 28, and you can reference 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 18. Sent he them to Lebanon, 10,000 a month by relays, 2487. A month they were in Lebanon and 2 months at home. That way they could take care of their business at home. They'd serve for a month and they'd come home for 2 months, then they'd go back. And Adoniram was over the levy of forced labor. 29. Had Shlomo 70,000 that carried burdens, and 80,000 hewers, 2671, of stone in the hill country. Those were the people that cut, measured precise stones for what he was building. Verse 30. Apart from the chief of Shlomo's appointed officers over the work, 3,300 which had dominion over the people that did the work. verse 31, commanded the king, and they quarried, 5265, great stones, costly, 3368, stones, a lot of marble, hewn, 1496, stones, to lay the foundation, that's all one word, 3245, of the house, speaking of the house of Yahweh. Verse 32, Shlomo's builders and Kiram's builders hewed them into shape, 6458, and they made a border, 1382, for them. So they made preparation for, that's one word, 3559, timber and stones to build the house. And that ends chapter 5. They're getting the foundation laid for the first temple. Big, big, big undertaking. And you're talking manpower moving these giant stones. That's tough work. Well, we're getting into the preparation for building the house of Yahweh. Now, tomorrow, on Tuesday, 27th, I will be doing chapters 6 and chapter 7. Now, this is pretty complicated because it is building details. And it's a little dry reading, but it tells the great effort. Chapter 7 is a big chapter. It's 51 verses. So that's why I'm only doing 2 chapters tomorrow. A lot of the short chapters like we've had today, I can do 3 chapters. I don't want to just get in here and then and ah and run my face. All this effort and all this wealth at this time is in righteousness. Later on, Shlomo's going to go a little wacky, and he's gonna start sinning. Okay, sorry. His great wisdom was at first, but later on, he fell in love with lots of different women from different races, and he race mixed. We see a lot of guys start out today as preachers. They go to seminary school, and they have all these good intentions, and then they get into this Judeo-Christian trap, and they go downhill because they don't want to lose their job, and they become affected by the world. And with me, I went the opposite way. I started out as a heller and an old biker and just did whatever, and then Yahweh called me. And I started teaching the truth on my radio show that I had on my station I had years ago. And I really got crosswise with the government. We were isolated then. There were only a few of us teaching Christian identity. And I wound up going to prison over it. I had to defend my life against a rogue police officer who lost his police commission over it. The state didn't want to prosecute me because they had it on camera, and it was all his fault, not mine. Well, the Fed could not shut down the radio station any other way but to lock me up, so they racked and stacked and packed charges, and I was looking at 130 years. Well, I wound up doing 13 years. For being a patriot and for self-defense. I am not the first patriot to go down, nor will I be the last. I was not a criminal before that. I was not a criminal while I was in prison. I didn't fall into that trap. And I came out of prison strong in Yahweh because he blessed me over and over and over and over. And Eli James had been corresponding with me for years and publishing a lot of my written works, which I did on a primitive typewriter. Just basic, had no functions on it at all. And Eli stood by me all those years because he knew of me. And he told me all about EFR and says, when you get out, I want you to do shows on EFR because you have a lot to teach. And I started, and it just took off like a shot. And I'm very, very privileged to be on the team at EFR. Because there is nothing more important than getting the word of Yahweh out to the people. I make political comments every once in a while, and I'll talk about the Jews and who they are every once in a while. But I'm not here basically for Jew bashing. Everybody knows who they are and what they do. I'm here to teach the word. Now, on the show that I will begin in January, on Thursdays at 9 p.m., I will be doing political commentary and other things with a scriptural message to it, how scriptures apply to it. It's going to be a different format than this show. It will have more secular comments in it. Okay? This show does not. This show is just straight scripture study. That was the format, and I've had people ask me, why don't you do this and this and this? Because I stated the format for word as Bible study. And when I finish all the Hebrew text all the way up, I will probably go into the Apocrypha, and then I will go into the New Covenant, Brit Kadasha, the New Covenant of the story of the miracles of Yahshua, our Messiah, and all that he taught. And when I get all the way up through the book of Revelations, it'll be a couple of years from now if things hold together. I'm going to keep on doing this as long as I'm physically capable. And I really appreciate the listenership that has supported and all the nice comments that I've gotten. And I am very privileged to bring these words to you. I love the word of Yahweh, and I love sharing it with all the knowledge that I have gathered through his blessing over the years through the Holy Spirit. So Yahweh takes care of his own, and he will take care of us during the times to come. Trust in Yahweh and no one else. He is the one that's going to save us. So I will talk to you tomorrow on the 27th, and I will be doing chapters 6 and 7. Shalom Aleichem to you, and may Yahweh bless you, my brothers and sisters.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus, go.